God is not slack concerning his promises. He knows what he's doing. He's got his eye on the ball. Nobody can keep his eye on the ball like God can. He's not distracted. Don't worry about it. That's all good. I know you're distracted, but God's not like you, in case you didn't realize that. No, he's able to keep his eye on the ball. You have lots of distractions. You lose track of the main point, don't you? Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zunder, by the way. You lose track of the main point. You lose your train of thought. What was I saying? Yeah, okay, I know all about it. But God doesn't. He says something. He declares it, and he follows it through. And this is a comfort for us. I'm going to show you a specific verse, an example from 2 Peter. But first, let's go back to our main text in Hebrews. Going to brush you up real quick here on Hebrews 6. Verse 16, you know, talking about God swearing by himself, confirming the promise he made so that we can, verse 18, flee to refuge to him, lay hold of an expectation. Now, I know we're in Hebrews and we're talking about the Hebrew expectation, which is different than our expectation. We expect to be snatched away, joined with the dead in Christ, snatched away together in the air, meet Christ, be seated at his right hand where we will rule the universe and bring antagonistic sovereignties, authorities, and powers to the feet of Christ. How's that for an expectation? Yeah, that'll do. No, not bad. Israel's expectation to bring the earth into subjection to Christ through you and your seed, all the families of the ground shall be blessed. Genesis chapter 12. And Jesus came, Romans 15, 8, to confirm the patriarchal promises, that is the promises God made to Abraham. These are immutable matters. These are expectations lying before us. That's the thing, folks. They're lying before us. We're supposed to look at them, and we're supposed to engage our minds with them continuously. And the problem is that so much time has gone by, and we think that God has started this pot boiling, put the pot on the burner, and walked away. Why do we think that? Because we've done it. That's why we have tea kettles with little lids with little holes in it that whistle. Because we leave, and as soon as we're gone, we forget about it. God's not like that. Somebody told this to me once. Ah, what a saying. It's this, four words. God is on it. He's on it. He's actively patient. That's a big deal. I want to get into that a little more here. Actively patient. This is an anchor for the soul, verse 19. These great words, great words. Fleeing for refuge, taking hold of an expectation, and an anchor of the soul. God knows we long for his promises to come and to be fulfilled. And here's another phrase, secure and confirmed. These words are amazing here. I got to repeat these to you. For one thing, immutable matters, beyond contradiction. That's verse 18. Impossible for God to lie. That's really good news. Strong consolation. God knows we need consoled during this terrible time period we're going through. That's verse 18. Fleeing for refuge. That's verse 18. We're running from the world into his arms. For what purpose? To lay hold of the expectation. Verse 18. Where is the expectation? It's lying before us. He doesn't put it in a corner. He doesn't wrap it in tissue paper and put it in a gift bag. He lays it before you. It's out there, naked. Read Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 1 for that matter. Oh, what the heck? Just read the whole book. He lays it before us. He no longer is secretive or vague or obtuse. He's not playing games with language anymore. It's still true. Paul can't write. But that's another point. He's trying to write clearly, but he can't. But the truth he's trying to write about is true. It's there. It's lying in front of you. An anchor of the soul. We long for it. We're vexed. I've been talking to people. I talk to people, you know. And people are vexed. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and people don't like it. You can't see clearly in the valley. Fog settles in. The fog of other voices, the fog of television, the fog of other people, the fog of deception, the fog of religion, of Christianity. We're in the fog of death, mortality. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But that fog is going to lift. The fog doesn't get rid of what's there. That's why you stub your toe in the dark. Just because it's dark doesn't mean the furniture's not there. Too bad, you know? Boom. Ow. Jeez. The fog doesn't take away the reality. All the distractions in your life do not take away the reality. I want you to know that. And this is what I really want you to know. That they don't take away the reality for God either. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Now of this one thing you are not to be oblivious. I know this is a circumcision writing, but this is for you today, right now. Because I'm feeling it right now. This one thing you are not to be oblivious, beloved, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not tardy as to the promise, as some are deeming tardiness, but is patient. Active word. He's actively patient. He's doing patience, you see? It's not that he was patient at one time, and now he's kind of given up on it, and he's gone to another room, and the pot's burning over, and there's no little cap with a hole in it. Where's the whistle? Where's the whistle? No, he's actively patient because of you, not intending any to perish, but all to make room for repentance. Okay, that part is strictly circumcision. But now transfer this transadministrational part to you, that the Lord is not tardy as to the promise, as some are deeming tardiness. Okay, here's how we deem it. We deem it like I told you yesterday, right? This really relates to what I did yesterday. I told you I woke up and I said, oh, I get it. You just can't do it. It's been so long, you've forgotten the trick. You forgot what you promised to do. You can't do the snatching away. So you're just putting it off because you forgot the formula or the recipe. And of course, I was being facetious with them. I was just funning them a little bit. It's not the case because a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. Listen to this. To him, he's in heaven. He has an advantage over us. He can see this tapestry. 1,000 years is as one day to us. It's the same to him. All right, now, so that means that 2,000 years is like 2 days. I'm just going with the formula here. 1,000 years is as a day to him. So what we would think of as a day, to him, 1,000 years is the same type of sensation. And it's really far beyond that, but we're using the figure of speech, condescension, where God comes across as a man and talks to us in human terms, in time terms, so that we can grasp something of his characters. 1,000 years goes by to him like a day. Oh, you remember when you woke up this morning? Or that was the Battle of Hastings. The Battle of Hastings happened this morning, Battle 1066, right? I don't know how I remembered that. I hardly remember anything from history, but I remember the Battle of Hastings. Like, forget the Battle of Hastings. Forget about it. 2,000 years ago, our Lord and Savior died on the cross. And a few years after that, he called our apostle Paul. That was 2,000 years ago. Do you remember what you were doing yesterday when you woke up? Yesterday. To God, the 2,000 years that has passed subsequent to the calling of our apostle is to him as yesterday was to us. Now, if God had promised this 2 days ago, would we be griping that he hadn't fulfilled it yet? Picture this. Yesterday morning, God tells you, I'm going to seat you at my right hand. You are going to be glorified beyond your wildest dreams. You are going to be judging angels, and you are going to be helping me, assisting me in my work to reconcile the universe to myself. But 2 days goes by. The weekend, Saturday and Sunday, you're like, oh, where's the promise, God? Have you forgotten? Nobody's going to do that because it's only been 2 days. I mean, you write a letter to somebody. I know some of you still put a stamp on an envelope, send letters to people. It takes more than 2 days to get there. You don't look at your mailbox the next day for a response. I remember this one girlfriend I had back in 1980. She lived in my town. I sent her a nice letter, and I'm at the mailbox the next day. Where's the mail? You don't even expect that of the postal service in this lousy eon we're living, this sluggish eon. That's nothing. But to God, 2,000 years to him is just as, what's the big deal, people? See, he's going, what's the big deal? Because to him, it's only been like 2 days. And it's a mind-blowing concept, but it just shows you that he's not going to forget, because chances are you kind of remember what happened yesterday. Well, he kind of remembers that 2,000 years ago, he called this guy named Saul, who became Paul, and he kind of like promised that the body of Christ was going to kind of like be seated at the right hand of God, for sure. And they're going to be snatched away, and that's a promise. Oh, I haven't been snatched away yet. Why not? I've been alive for 50 years or 40 years or 80 years and nothing's happened. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. 80 years. 80 years, huh? You know how quick that is to God? Let me figure this out. Wait a minute. I got this formula here. Look at this. Okay. Let's say you've been alive for 27 years. It's been 27 years. I haven't seen anything. God sure doesn't remember the promise he made. I've been alive for 27 years. Have you now? 27 years. All right. Joseph was in prison. Okay, there's 27. Let me put it this way. I'm going to calm down here. I'm getting excited about this. From the time God gave Joseph his dream, his call, that he was going to be the head, and that his father and his own father and his brothers were going to bow down to him, and he was going to be a great man. From the time God gave him that dream, these amazing dreams, and his technicolor dream coat and all that, from that time to the time he was actually raised to power in Egypt was 27 years. That's a long time to Joseph. 27 years. In that ensuing time, he was cast into a pit by his brothers. He was taken into Egypt by Ishmaelite traders. Traders with a D. And they were traitors, possibly. Taken into Egypt, put into jail for 3 years or so. Got screwed over. Potiphar's wife framed him. Bad stuff. 27 years. Oh, wait. Did I say 27 years? What I meant to say was 45 minutes. 45 minutes. Less than an hour. Joseph was tried after his dream, less than an hour, following the formula that 1,000 years to God is as a day. If 1,000 years is as a day, then 27 years is 45 minutes to God. 45 minutes. I know it seemed like an eternity to Joseph. Joseph must have thought, does God remember the dream he gave me? Now, why not? It only happened to him like 45 minutes ago, less than an hour. He is on it. This pot hasn't even started boiling yet. You think it's boiled over. You look at the world, you watch the news. I don't know why you watch the news, but you watch the news. This pot's boiling over. No, it's not. It's just now reaching boil. He is so on it, and he's been on it for 2,000 years. He's actively patient because to him it's only 2 days. Moses in the wilderness, 40 years. You feel sorry for him, right? He kills that Egyptian. Ho, ho, I'm the man. Nobody gets it. Why aren't they carrying me into Egypt? On my royal throne, because you have to go into the wilderness and you have to forget your native language. You have to tend sheep for 40 years. You have to be humbled for 40 years. That's only 55 minutes to God. 55 minutes. You're in the 40 years. That's a big number in the scriptures. Israel wandered 40 years. The Pentecostal administration, 40 years. How about Jesus? 40 days and 40 nights. God knows how much time that is to God. I haven't done the math on that. What, 9 seconds? 9 seconds? You fast for 40 days and 40 nights? Noah's on the boat for 40 days and 40 nights? Is that what it was? I don't know. Let's say it was. Well, it's seconds to God. He is not slack concerning his promises. He is so, so on it. And I got to tell you all this because I'm telling it to myself at the same time. Because I just told you what I said yesterday. What are you doing? That's what he's doing. He's remembering everything. And when the time is right, this thing's going to happen. That's the way it always happened, folks. The time had to be right. People pray, people hope, people live, people die. But the day does come. And there's going to be a day when we're going to be talking about the snatching away in the past tense. And we're barely going to be able to remember it because it's going to have happened so long ago. I know, it's hard to even imagine looking back at the snatching away because all we do is look forward to it. But I'm telling you, you and I are someday going to look back at the snatching away. It's going to be part of our history, not part of our future. That day's coming, and you know I look forward to it with you. Let's encourage one another.